Pipeline to Profitability with Alan Ferguson is sponsored by Service Professionals Australia, Australia's leading service industry training company. Looking to identify the most profitable area of your business? Visit serviceprofessionalsaustralia.com.au. And now, here's your host, Alan Ferguson.
I'd like to bring our next guest on, Mark Madison, who started his career as a HVAC technician in 1976. He is one of those rare professionals who can say he is a speaker, consultant, and author and really mean it. Mark has attracted clients in HVAC contracting, distribution, and manufacturing, as well as such organizations like Microsoft, T-Mobile, John Deere, ConocoPhillips, Aflac, and well over 100 Fortune 1000 companies in three continents. His annual speaking commitment typically means 40 keynotes, 20 seminars and workshops, and 5 to 10 consulting engagements around the world. And Mark takes great pride in the fact that he has flunked high school English. So welcome, Mark Madison, to episode 7 of our podcast, Pipeline to Profitability.
Alan, I'm humbled and honored to talk to you, my friend.
Fantastic. Look, it's good that you have, I know you're probably one of the busiest guys that I know, and reading your bio made me overwhelmed with the amount of stuff you get up to. But you're often interviewed frequently, and you've been quoted in the media. You are considered a thought leader, an idea reporter, an agent of change who teaches his clients how to get twice as much done in half the time. And you have done work internationally in Australia, Canada, Aruba, and Turkey. Furthermore, you've worked in 47 states in the US. So well done on that. And I know you've been to Australia a couple of times because I've been honored to have been around you. So tell me a little bit about Mark Madison and what Mark does.
Well, the three states I haven't been to are Wyoming, Delaware, and Maine, and that's all by intent. So, no, I'm kidding. But those are the three states I haven't worked in. Well, you know, Alan, I appreciate that introduction. My mother wrote it. You know, she loved me. So I feel so fortunate to be able to do what I do. I'm kind of like the guy with the ugly dog. This guy had this ugly dog, and he kept taking him to dog shows for like 10 years, and it was so ugly he was never going to win a prize. And finally, one day, his best friend pulled him aside and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, everyone wants to know, why do you take your dog to dog shows? He's so ugly, he's never going to win a prize." And the guy said, "Yeah, I know." He said, "Well, then why? I'm your best friend. Can you tell me?" He said, "Sure. Look at all the great dogs you got to hang around the last 10 years. And that's me. I'm the ugly dog. I get to go in and out of extraordinary kennels. And I learn as much or more from my clients than they do from me. Like your company, Alan, and your friends in Australia, I just feel so blessed to be able to do that. And because I'm a serious student, I'm a bit of a sponge. I'm taking notes, as you well know, in my journal constantly. I want to capture as much of the learning as I possibly can. And when people ask me what I do, I tell them I'm primarily a speaker, which is absolutely true. But someone asked me recently, they said, "How did you know when you wanted to be a speaker?" I said, "Well, the signs were there going all the way back to age 5. We were in England. I'm sorry, Japan. My mother was English. But we were in Japan, and I was in like kindergarten, and the class was singing what I thought was a really boring song. So I broke out in a rendition of the Jetser and Gear from West Side Story, a very popular musical in the late 50s and early 60s. And it was a flawless rendition, I might add. And I was sent home with a note, and the note said, "Mark has a lot of energy. We just need to find a way to rechannel it that's less disruptive to the rest of the class. Can we conference next week?" So the road signs were there, Alan. I just ignored them for the longest time until I was about 32. And that was the day the light came on for me. That's when I knew that I wanted to be a speaker and a writer, but I didn't know how I was going to go about doing that. I just know that's what I wanted to do.
I've got so many questions to ask you, and I know we'll work through a few of them because I've known you now for a good 5 years.
Yeah.
We first met. I just wanted to let our listeners know we met through a very good friend of ours both, being Matt Michelle,
yes,
the CEO of Service Roundtable. And the first time I met you was in Melbourne, Melbourne, Australia. And that was for a Service Nation Alliance meeting. We were going to you guys were going to a trade show in Melbourne, air conditioning, HVAC trade show.
Yes.
And I was asked to come down and spend some time. And I was quite shocked when I first met you, being nearly 7 foot tall and 22 inch arms. I was quite intimidated because I'm 5'11" and you got at least nearly a foot on me in height. And so it was great to meet you. I really enjoyed your time in Melbourne. We've got a great video that I actually videoed you talking about in the Service Nation workshop that you put on.
Yes.
I videoed you talking about selling cookies, I think,
Girl Scout cookies. Want to buy some cookies? Yeah, cookies. That's one of my signature stories.
And I'm happy to share that link with anyone who wants to see it. It's an incredible story that I love to talk about and I love to share. And so I was blessed to have spent time with you, and also you have been a mentor of mine, someone that I really look up to, literally. You've actually helped me through my speaking and coaching career, which is really, for me, it's kicked off in the United States. And you've been quite harsh with your critique of my presentation style. But look, I wish that I could get to the level that you're at, and I'll keep going. I'm not someone who gives up easy, but I really do look up to you, Mark, and I've enjoyed your time here in Australia, and I've enjoyed the time that I've spent you in the US. So I tell you before...
Let me interrupt you for a minute, Alan, and let me just say that I was impressed not only with your business acumen and what you've accomplished with your company, but having been fortunate enough to spend time with you to meet your family and your wife and your kids, you are one of those guys, Alan, that literally has it all. And what I mean by that is you're a wonderful father, a great husband, and you have that balance. And anybody that gets to know you and your beautiful family, you realize, my gosh, you're truly blessed, because nobody's handed you anything. You've worked your butt off to be as successful as you are. So I think this kind of a mutual admiration society here. I feel honored to know you. I consider you not just a client, but a really great friend, and a privilege to know you.
Much appreciated, buddy. I really do appreciate that. And as I said, I have been humbled and honored to have been introduced to you. Now, I really love the story that you've told, and I know you've told this at live events, as well as Matt Michelle, was your experience in Turkey. Let our listeners know a little bit about that.
Well, in 2008, I did a keynote for something called Coverings, which is a lot like Comfort Tech for the flooring industry. So if you're a carpeting guy or a tile guy and you're a contractor, you go to this Coverings. And I was the opening keynote speaker. There were about 900 people in the audience, and it went really well. They told me I was the rock star of the show. I don't know what that means, but I think I trashed the room. Maybe that's what they were referring to. But a couple months later, I got an email from a woman in Turkey, and I almost deleted it. I thought it was one of those Nigerian prince lost all my money emails. And she said, I saw you were the keynote speaker at Coverings. I think you'd be perfect for our conference in Istanbul. And thankfully, I didn't erase the email, and I ended up booking that gig and being the opening keynote speaker for about 1,500 people. And she asked me if I knew any other speakers in the United States, and I said yes. And she said, do you think one of them could talk about commodity branding? And I said, I know a guy in Texas who would be perfect for that. So I called Matt Michelle, and I said, hey, you want to go to Turkey? You want to go to Istanbul? He said, who is this? And I explained, I explained what I was looking for, and when he said, that'd be great. So I said, well, send me a proposal and give me a number. And so he did. And I said, that's not enough money, Matt. Can I double it? And I'm just going to go ahead and put that in my agreement and send it off, and I'll wire you the money when it comes. So that's what happened. And Matt and I went to Istanbul together. But quite frankly, I thought I did a good job, but Matt stole the show. I thought his presentation was the best of all the speakers. And he's so thorough and he's so professional in what he does. But I had five guaranteed funny bits. in that hour that I had. And no one laughed. Crickets. And I freaked out. Inside, I was freaking out. Outside, I was just a little concerned. And so afterwards, I asked the woman who hired me. I said, Banu, how did my talk go? And she said, oh, Mr. Mark, everybody loved your talk. It was wonderful. And I said, but nobody laughed. And she said, oh, Turkish men don't laugh in public, sign of weakness. And I said, well, does anybody, do they ever laugh? And she said, oh, yes, with best friend in bar, three drinks. So I thought to myself, I should have been the after-dinner speaker, right? And so I said, crickets, right? That's what I called the story. And I told my web guy that. His name is Kevin Thomas. And so he changed the ringtone. So whenever I call Kevin now, it's just crickets. It's a chirping sound.
Love that story.
Well, it was lost in translation, Alan. You know, what works in the United States doesn't necessarily work in a foreign country. And fortunately, that's not true in Australia. I got plenty of laughs there. But as you well know, I use a lot of humor in my presentations, and most of it is self-effacing. One client said, Mark, I like your self-defecating humor. And I knew what he meant. But it's fun. I really love what I do. And I try to bring a lot of joy and a lot of laughter and humor to my presentations. And I think because of that, you know, people seem to appreciate my style.
Absolutely. Your style is, as a contractor that has evolved into not just a speaker, but an author and New York Times bestseller. I think it's an incredible transformation that you've taken your life. So, Mark, what made you get out of being a contractor to becoming an author, a New York Times best-selling author, and a speaker?
Well, I think it was the Seattle Times. But anyway, my fourth year selling, Alan, I was selling commercial service agreements in Seattle for a very successful contractor. And I found myself at a crossroads. I was either going to join up with a buddy of mine who's an operations guy and start my own company, or I was going to get into the speaking business. And I wasn't sure which one I was going to do at the time. And then I reconnected with an old mentor, a guy named Bob Moad, who's passed away now. And he was the one that taught me how to set goals and visualize when I was 14 years old. And the things that he taught me, I teach other people now. And you know, he literally changed my life. So here I was in my mid to late 30s, and it was really clear he wanted me to come to work for his company. So I left the industry, or at least I thought I did, and I worked for him for almost 4 years. I learned the speaking business. I learned how to develop curriculum and conduct workshops and seminars. But I also, maybe more importantly, I got to watch Bob several hundred times. And much of my style can be attributed to his, not content so much, but style. And I learned such a great deal from him, and he was really, truly a great mentor. And then, 3 years into working at Edge Learning Institute in Tacoma, I started writing, and I was writing pretty seriously every month. And I created a manuscript called Freedom from Fear, and I mailed it to a guy named Charlie Tremendous Jones. And he was somebody I looked up to, but I didn't really know. But I sent him a manuscript, and I asked for his opinion. And he called me 2 weeks later and said, if you can write another story like that, you won't need to speak anymore. I'd like to publish your book. And I didn't even know he was a publisher. I was a little embarrassed. And he said, well, what do you think Executive Books is, an underwear store? So I said, okay. So he published the book, and it took off. And I don't know how many copies. I haven't looked lately, but it's several hundred thousand. And you know, it literally changed my life. And that set me on a path. I've written 5 books since then. And as you well know, I have a new one out on wellness and fitness. And so it's a joyful thing that I do. Somebody asked me today, are you an extrovert or an introvert? And I said, well, I'm an ambivert. An ambivert is what I call a situational extrovert. When I go out into public, I'm an extrovert. But I'd rather be reading or writing or journaling or thinking. And that's the introvert side of me. And so the writing serves that part of my personality. And the speaking and the consulting serves the coach and the entertainer in me. So I've been able to find a nice balance between the two parts, you know, of who I am.
I think anyone that's listening on this podcast, and most of our audience, Mark, are contractors. I just think the story that you, as a contractor, moving your career into being an author and an incredible speaker, is such an inspirational thing. Just showing that it doesn't matter where you are and what you do, if you're, you know, goal driven like you are, and set your sights to something maybe outside of the industry. You haven't really left the industry. You've just
No.
stepped up and to one side. You are still a contractor at heart.
Well, I started as a technician, Alan, as you know, and I was a technician for 10 years. So what I tell people is I used to change filters and now I do this. Somewhere between then and now I changed. And then I talk about the things I did to change. And that's really what I do is I give people tools for change and I show them how to go from here to there. And yeah, that's goal achievement, not goal setting, but goal achievement.
Yeah.
And you're right. 60% of the work I do is still in contracting, large manufacturers, distributors and contractors, and especially contractors like your company, Alan, really sick. I call them the top 4%, really successful contractors who win contractor of the year, guys like Steve Miles. You know, those are the ones who hire me. And it's interesting because the ones who really need it can't be bothered. And the ones who are already really successful, like many of the contractors in Service Nation and Service Roundtable, are clients of mine because they hear me speak and they say, wow, you'd be perfect for our company. So I feel really blessed because, you know, I've 40 years in contracting, right? I mean, I was gone for a little while, but for the most part, I'm still in and around contracting. And I have a real soft spot. And as you know, Alec, my books are, all of the heroes in my book are contractors. You write about what you know. That's what Stephen King taught me. So, yeah, it's fun. Fantastic. It's really fun.
Yeah, look, we do sort of cross paths at all the great contracting shows and events that go on in the US. And, you know, you've been part of some of the bigger events that I've put on here in Australia. You keynoted Service Nation Australia, our first event in Sydney. Where did we have that one? It was at Circular Quay. It was one of the big hotels.
Jeez. Nice place.
It was an incredible event. You've come and we've put on some events together here in Sydney, smaller events for other contractors. What I've found about you, Mark, is you're able to adapt to literally any crowd or any topic. I don't think there would be anything that you couldn't get out in front of a crowd and speak about. So I'm gonna give some thought about that moving forward. Maybe I'll find something that you might be a little bit more challenged with. So, Mark, what was the pivotal light bulb moment for you in your career?
Oh gosh, you know, yeah, that's a good question. Somebody asked me this: why coaching? And I said, well, you know, basketball was my first love and a religion of sorts for me. It was a place where I realized I could get as good as I wanted to. And I did. I became pretty good at basketball. I got a college scholarship. And when the first time I gave a talk and I got the response that I got, it was exactly like basketball, because it occurred to me that the one thing I loved about basketball was I could get as good as I wanted to be, depending on how hard I was willing to work. And I didn't need anybody else to help me. I could do it on my own. And speaking was the exact same way. And when I made that connection, Alan, the light truly went on. And so I call it CASH: knowledge, attitude, skills, and habits. And so, you know, reading everything I get my hands on, associating with successful speakers, you know, studying the art and science of it. And there really is, if you break it down, there's identifiable component parts to speaking. And so once I understood what those were, I really truly went to work. I used to shoot 2-3 hours a day in basketball, and it's the same thing now. It's 2-3 hours a day of study, research. I'm constantly looking. I'm looking for ways to improve. I go to comedy clubs. When I'm in Las Vegas, I always go to shows. And I go to shows not for the entertainment, but to dissect what I call the causes of success. So it's almost always three things. There's a great story about Jay Leno when he first started. He was the host of The Tonight Show for years and years. But when he was a young comic in Boston, Johnny Carson, if you got on The Tonight Show, it launched a comedian's career. So one of Carson's scouts came to see him in the little club in Boston. And he convinced Carson to come back the next night and watch him. So they did. And he called him over the table afterward and said, kid, this is Carson speaking. He said, you got great attitude. You just need better jokes. And what he was telling Jay Leno was, you have fabulous platform skills, but what you need is content. You need better content. And so what I've done is poured myself into any particular topic. And honestly, I had a speakers bureau one time contact me and they said, what's your talk about? And I said, well, I have more than one talk. And they said, what do you mean you have more than one? And I said, you know, there's six or seven things that I talk about. And she said, well, nobody can be an expert on seven things. I said, I never said I was an expert, but I've written books on all those different topics. So I don't know if that makes me an expert or not, but I know a lot about a lot of different things. So whether it's team building or customer service or sales or leadership, employee attraction and retention, hiring, it doesn't matter what it is. I've written about it and I've researched it. And for me, Alan, it's about skills transfer. Most of the contractors that I meet and that hire me understand that it's the soft skills transfer that's going to take their company to the next level. And whether that's getting business, sales, or keeping business, customer service, what's missing is that everybody's trained on the technical side. Most guys have way too much technical training and not enough of the soft skills. So that's what I bring to the table, is that soft skills training.
Want to learn Mark Madison's 20 top sales success lessons for free? Of course you do. To download Mark's exclusive sales success stories ebook, visit serviceprofessionalsaustralia.com.au for his value-loaded book packed with stories and lessons to increase your sales. That's serviceprofessionalsaustralia.com.au to get Mark Madison's Sales Success Stories ebook for free. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please let us know. Send your feedback and questions to admin@serviceprofessionals.com.au and Alan will respond to the best emails on air.
I tell you what else, with my time with you, knowing you for the last 5 years, is I've seen you actually change the attitude of a lot of people you're around. So what I mean by that is, you know, with me, if I get to a certain point in my life, in my business, and I get stuck, and I get stuck because either my knowledge or my attitude is not allowing me to go to the next level. And you actually have a way to change the thinking and the attitude, just so, you know, because to grow a business or to grow as a leader is basically down to the people you hang around with, the books you read, the podcasts you listen to. And but you actually have all that knowledge. And yet for me, you've been a great inspiration as far as me being able to change my attitude and my thinking to go to the next level. So,
well, I appreciate
that. But that's just me. And I know a lot of the attendees of your events here in Australia, and there's probably be a couple of hundred people in Australia that have heard you speak live and have said a very similar thing to me. You're very inspirational and you do help to, you know, to change your thinking and attitude. I don't know if that makes sense, but
I do. I appreciate that. Thank you. What I do, Alan, is I really listen to the self-talk of other people. When I hear the word try, and I heard this today, this other gentleman, his name is Kevin Worley. He's the executive director of the Blind Merchants Association, if you can imagine. And I spoke to their event about 8 or 9 years ago, and he said, you know, we want to have you come back. And he said, but before we do that, I want to do a podcast. And I said, great. So we were talking about wellness and nutrition, because that's the newest book I've written is on nutrition and wellness. And he used the word try when he talked about himself and losing weight. And I immediately said, you know, try means I intend to fail and I'm just letting you know in advance.
Yep.
Right. And so I really listen to what people say. And I think from my point of view, what I try to dissect and understand is the difference between what somebody says they want and what they actually need. And I think that's the value that I bring, is that gap between want and need. And if you listen long enough to somebody, they'll tell you what's wrong. They'll tell you where the pain is. They'll tell you what's holding them back. But they can't hear it themselves. So I guess for me, I'm sometimes a little too blunt, a little too forthright. But I'll call them on it. I'll just say, you know, based on what you're telling me, this is what I hear. And this is what's holding you back from going from here to there. And so much of that is simply listening, and that's part of what I teach, is active listening process. Because frankly, most men, Alan, and most contractors, they don't do a very good job of listening to their customers.
And
when they change that, everything changes, because the customer will tell you where the pain is and what it's costing them if you learn how to ask the right questions.
I love what you talked about, try then, and I can't remember where I think it might have been from a Star Wars movie.
Yes,
it was the saying is
it was the second one where Luke and Yoda are in the swamp, and he says, "Now lift the ship out with your mind." And he said, "Okay, I'll try." And Yoda loses it. He gets really mad and he goes, "There is no try, only do or do not. Fail you will." Yes.
That's it. It's a really good, I've often thought about that. And I've had a situation just recently where, one thing I don't do is put my staff down if they make a mistake. But, I had someone said to me just recently, I did try. I said, well, you didn't actually do, did you?
Yes.
Try is, an example I could use. Well, I could try to pay you on Thursday.
Yeah.
I think you would prefer to hear me say, I will pay you on Thursday,
right,
rather than try. Look, it is a mindset, and the word try is something that I am going to remove, not try to remove from my vocabulary. I'm going to remove, and I'm going to stop trying, and I'm just going to do more.
Alan, you said, when did the light come on? Well, right after I met Charlie Jones, and you referenced this quote, he told me, he said, Mark, you'll be the same guy in 5 years, but for two things, books and people, people and books.
Woo!
And that was his signature quote. And it's since become mine, because that simple quote completely changed my life. I started really examining hard who I was associating with and what books I was reading. And when I changed both of those things, my life exploded into change. And frankly, most people never consider either. But when you count this cost, add up the five people you spend the most time with, right? Make a list and add up how much money they make on average, and then divide it by five. Your income is within 10% of that reference group. And so if you're hanging around a bunch of people who make minimum wage, guess what? You're only going to make plus or minus 10% of minimum wage. And it is that simple. But most people never consider the significant influence of those two factors, books and people, people and books. So that was another, the light came on moment for me.
Is it true that you're good friends with Bill Gates?
No. I saw him once. He was next to me on the freeway, and I waved. But no.
You do live in the same sort of region. I think
he's across the lake from me. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were there was a closeness in where you live.
I did meet and spend time with the CEO of T-Mobile, though, and he's really a neat guy.
Look, I was really, really impressed with, your bio and some of the companies you've worked with, Fortune 1000 companies.
Yeah.
You've really got, and I'll tell you what else, at the end of the podcast, I'm going to let you explain to everyone how they can get in contact with you, but I'd love for some of, listeners on the podcast to actually see your introduction video and YouTube of you, some of the companies you've worked with, and your incredible stage presence. As I said, I do look up to you and would really love to see myself doing what you do. But this is all new for me. It's only been a couple of years now, and you've been doing this for like 30 years. So I'm not comparing myself with you, but I would really like to follow your lead there.
Well, Alan, you're so much farther ahead than I was when I first started. It isn't even funny. So your future's so bright as a speaker, it burns my eyes.
That's good. What's the biggest challenges that contractors you work with are encountering?
Virtually every contractor I talk to is looking to make more sales and keep more. It's three categories, three answers to your question: sales, customer service, and employee attraction and retention. Uh-huh. So that's where I spend most of my time, and that's where what I do the most work is in those three areas. Sales is just getting business, and it's understanding from my point of view, sales is both an art and a science. And I've written an ebook on selling. I've written a handful of special reports and articles. But sales is something I've been doing since I was 11 years old. And it's because I had to. I didn't know we were poor when I was a kid until seventh grade when Julie Jacobson said, "How come you wear such weird clothes?" Right. So I love salespeople because they're passionate, they're enthusiastic, they're hungry to learn. But the art and the science are two different sides of the same coin. The science is, are you making enough calls? When I first started in sales, I actually did something really smart. I barely knew a guy, but enough to ask him to lunch. And he'd been the national sales manager of the year for Xerox. And he'd been a very successful salesperson himself. So I took him to lunch and I said, "What advice would you offer someone who's new?" And this was in the late 80s. And he said, "If your boss says do two proposals a week, you do four." So I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, what else?" He goes, "Well, anything more will just confuse you. That's all you need for now. Nobody expects you to do anything for the first 6 months. Do that and you'll be fine. If you get stuck or frustrated," he said, "call me." So I did five proposals a week for the first year. And at the end of the year, I was 150% of plan, even though my close rate was 25%. And so it was the beginning of my second year that I started reading books on sales, and I just devoured hundreds of books. And my close rate jumped to 50%, and I was 200% of plan. But it all started with seeing more people, doubling my activity. And salespeople don't want to hear that. They want some kind of silver bullet to, you know, shortcut, and there isn't any. You just have to make massive amounts of calls. I spoke to 400 salespeople at Aflac, and I had the number one guy in Wisconsin stand up. And I said, "Why are you so successful? You're the number one guy in Wisconsin." I said, "What is it that you do that's different than everybody else?" And he said, "I do three things." He said, "I make 40 calls a day. I quack loudly every day. Their mascot is a duck. And I offer my clients a choice of yeses." In other words, two options or three options.
Yep.
And I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we can stop right now. If everybody understood what he just said, number one, I don't care what you sell. If you make 40 calls a day, you're going to be wildly successful. Number two, if you're proud of what you do, if you really are proud of your product or service, that belief gets transferred to the prospect. And number three, when you offer a choice, you change the buying dynamic to if I'm going to buy from you to how or which option." And so the science part of it is seeing enough people. The art is the active listening, the psychology of selling, you know, understanding the people part of the equation. How good are you at making friends? How good are you at demonstrating empathy and compassion? And when you understand both sides of that coin and you employ those strategies, sales follow. They have to.
Yeah, no, you're right there. And the two, you know, giving lots of options, it really does get me thinking about, the video I recorded of you talking about the Girl Scouts, the cookies. I'm going to get that link available for anyone that wants it. But that's an incredible situation that explains giving options of yes and no.
I feel compelled to tell you this story because I'm not sure you've heard this one. There was a gentleman, he's retired now, so I can use his name. His name was Cal, and he was the sales director for a large distributing firm in Kansas City. And he'd heard me speak a couple of times, so he calls me one day and says, "Look, I'd like you to come out and do some training for our dealers." I said, "That'd be great. I'd love that." So we had several meetings, and one of them was actually happened in downtown Seattle. He happened to be here, so we met and talked extensively. So I put three proposals together for him, three options. And I called it gold, silver, bronze back then. And so, and it was, this was large. This was like once a month for 6 months. It was really comprehensive training. So he gets my proposal and he calls me the next day and he says, "Look, I love this." He said, this is great. He said, "You know, I really love that gold option." I said, "I thought you would." He said, "But I really like the silver price." And I said, "Okay." I said, "I guess we're going with the silver then." He said, no, "You don't understand. I want the gold option, but for the silver price." And I said, "No, I heard you." And I said, "I want Uma Thurman, the beautiful actress, to stalk me, but that's not going to happen. So I guess we're going to silver." He said, "You're not going to budge on this, are you?" I said, "Cal, there's a reason I gave you three options. I said, this is exactly what I'm going to teach your dealers so they can sell more boxes. He said, fine. I guess we're going with the gold. I said, credit card or cash, or credit card or check, which would you prefer? He said, you're doing it again, aren't you? And I said, yeah, it's a choice of yeses. Which one would you like?
Very, very clever. It's good. Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of sales trainers. Tom Hopkins,
yes,
someone that, and I don't know if I told you or not, I had the absolute pleasure to meet Tom when I was in Phoenix last year, went to his lovely house in Arizona, and actually he got me to sit down behind Elton John's piano and actually got a photo with Tom. That was an incredible experience for me to meet one of the was he not regarded as one of the greatest sales people from the real estate
industry? Absolutely. Yeah, he started in real estate. His book, I read his book when I first started in sales. So this was 27 years ago. And the one thing I took from that, I got a lot of ideas from him, but the one thing he talked about was what he called a sales tie down. He said, you can make any statement and then with a tie down, turn it into a question. So he'll say, for example, that makes sense, doesn't it? Right? And so now it's a close-ended question. And the tie down is a way to begin to get confirmation.
I got to meet Tom through my good friend Joe Cunningham, who is also an absolute legend in the industry, much like you are, Mark. And yeah, Joe's been to Australia a few times as well and has done some really cool training here. The training that Joe does, and I know Joe is very close with Tom, is it's like we're training our service techs to sell without selling. I don't know if that makes sense,
oh,
but
it does.
It's all about giving the customers options and letting them choose what options you want. And I love the gold, silver, bronze, and I think that is probably one of the most successful formulas in our industry to sell air conditioning, electrical or plumbing. But Mark, what's the number one piece of advice you can give to upcoming business owners? We will have to conclude very soon just on a time frame, but what's some advice that, you know, all of our listeners who are either, you know, their owner of businesses or their managers that you can give them that they can take away and maybe just implement straight away?
Well, invest in yourself and your company and your employees. If you give a guy a fish, you feed him one time. If you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And I go back to skills transfer and training and education. Take what I know how to do and put it in your head, right? So it is that simple. But most people, I'm on a mission to get people to read, as you well know. And if they're not going to read, then listen to audios while you drive or watch YouTube videos. I do something I affectionately call the hour of power, and it's really, really simple. Once you figure out what your number one goal is and you've written it down and you've listed why you want that goal, so it's how much by when, right? And I'll give you a perfect example. In 2009, I weighed 305 pounds and I had a 46-inch waist. And I had a come to Jesus meeting with myself, and I made a decision to lose 50 pounds or 10 inches off my waist. And I went to work and I read everything I could find on nutrition and wellness. I started interviewing middle-aged men and women who had lost the weight and kept it off. And it turned out that there were three things: portions, quality, exercise. So I started doing those things and the weight just fell off. And a year and a half later, I'd lost the 50 pounds and the 10 inches. But that number one goal became a magnificent obsession of sorts. And so I started doing what I call the hour of power. So that's reading a book in alignment with that number one goal for 20 minutes, and then writing or affirming that goal for 20 minutes, and then making a list of the six most important things you need to do today to move towards your objectives. And if any of these contractors does that hour of power, either in the morning or at night, whenever you're, you know, kind of most clear, you do that for 30 days, and manifesting that goal in your life is just a matter of time. It's not if, it's just when. It's such a simple process, but most people never take the time to do that. They think they don't have time to read, and the reality is you don't have time not to. The books you don't read won't help, and people that don't read are no better off than those that don't know how to read.
So true, Mark. Just in some of the coaching I've done in Australia, I've probably the last five, seven years, I've coached probably several hundred contractors, and some of the bigger companies that I've worked with, you know, I find either the manager or the owner, just their biggest complaint is, you know, I tell them, you know, you have to be very strategic and how you run your business, and the managers and the owners really do need to, you know, step away from being in the business at least for an hour a day. And, you know, that's one thing that I've coached a lot of people is to take 1 hour every day where they can get someone to take their calls and step away from just the being in the traffic, and just focus on, you know, getting some goals written out, looking at, you know, being strategic, working on some planning and some, you know, maybe some systems for people development. But that's all you really need. If you're really, really busy, it won't kill you to pull an hour out of your day every day just to focus on the business rather than in the business. That one thing,
yes,
which is, yes, you know, what you're saying, makes a massive, massive impact on businesses and people's lives.
You're absolutely right, Alan, because that on and in model comes from the book The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And if you're going to make spaghetti, you got to have a recipe.
Yeah.
If you're going to make a cake, you can't leave the eggs out and say, you know, so most guys never take the time to sit down and work on their business and in it at the same time. I'm actually writing a book about the business of speaking and selling speaking services. And I'm up to 200 and some pages now, but I've basically just gone back through, you know, my life in this industry and started looking at it and kind of writing about it. And it's really more for me. I don't know that I'll make this for public consumption, but it's really helped me look at, you know, the systems that I employ, the checklist, the process, because if you don't have that, you can't teach it to somebody else and you can't expand. There's a contractor I work with in New York, and they have four locations, but before they could start their second location, they had to create their systems. So they could take somebody and three or four people and put them 200 miles away and replicate their success. And so to your point, working on the business and in the business is vital if you're going to expand and if you're going to grow and if you're going to teach what you know how to do to somebody else.
So just to conclude, Mark, two questions rolled into one. So what does the future hold for Mark Madison? And the most important thing here is how can our listeners reach you?
Well, the answer to that first question is going to surprise you. Children's books. We're expecting our first grandchild in May. So one of my goals in my 60s, I'm 58 now, is to write about 20 or 30 children's books. And I already have three of them done. But the third one is going to be kind of a series. So children's books, it'll be something I'll do for fun when I'm old. And but I'm going to continue to do what I do. I'm just going to add that to the equation. And how does somebody get a hold of me? Well, the best way to get a hold of me, go to my website, www.sparkingsuccess.net. There's a ton of free stuff to download. There, you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, electronic newsletter that goes out to about 7,000 people internationally. Gosh, my bookstore's there, so you can get the books and the CDs and all my products. My phone number, 206-697-0454. I know there's some people who still like to pick up the phone and call. And mark@sparkingsuccess.net is my email address. And I'm always available for a consult. The first half an hour is always free. I love what I do, and I'm reminded of the story of the contractor who was wiring a warehouse in Kentucky. And he'd been up in the catwalk, you know, putting the new controls in for weeks. And one fateful day, he slipped and fell into a vat of bourbon that was aging 30 feet by 60 feet. It was a Jack Daniel's distributor manufacturer. And he drowned. And the next day in the shop, they said, "Did you hear about old Joe? It sounded like he never had a chance." And the foreman of the job said, "Excuse me? Well, it sounded like he never had a chance." And the foreman said, "No, I wouldn't say that. He got out twice to go to the bathroom."
I love it.
Contractors think they don't have a chance to change and to grow and to become, but the reality is they do if they take some of these ideas to heart.
We will put all your contact details up on the link for the podcast. Now, if you don't mind, and if you don't want to share this little story, I understand, but I just think a really cool way to go out would be, you told me the time when, I don't know if it was yourself or one of your mentors, overheard a conversation by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot.
Right.
Is that something you could maybe share? And we could just finish off on that note.
Yeah, because absolutely.
Love that story.
Okay. Well, Arnold, as you well know, was the very successful bodybuilder. He won 7 Mr. Olympias. He came to this country with like $25 in his pocket and went on to become a famous movie star. And then when he was his third career, he became governor of California. And so in Sacramento, which is the capital, he gave a short speech. And Arnold had actually hired a consultant to help him write the speech. And they told him, keep it short and sweet and self-deprecating. So he said, "Well, I came to millionaire movie star and the governor of California. And I determined there's 3 things to succeed in America. Number 1, work hard. Number 2, set goals. And number 3, marry a Kennedy." And that was his speech. And then he sat down and the people went nuts. So it's pretty good advice, except for the third part. We can't all marry Kennedys, but you can work hard and set goals.
Yeah, love that, Mark. Love that. Love some of the stories you share. And I know everyone that's been on the podcast will, I hope they get to feel the same way that I do every time I hear you speak. So I want to thank you again. I'm not too sure if you're going to Atlanta for the international roundtable. If you are, I will see you there. If not, I won't.
Sadly, I won't be there. I have a scheduled speaking engagement.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I think I'll see you in October.
Yeah, look, I probably will. I think we're going to Philadelphia for Comfort Tech. That's in September. Then October, there is the new service roundtable extravaganza, which is going to be in Las Vegas. So I'll probably see you at one of those.
I'm sure we will, my friend. And I look forward to coming back to Australia and spending some more time with you.
Let's talk about that. Let's make that happen. Now, we'll talk to you also off the podcast. Maybe you might have an ebook you might want to share with anyone interested to, wants to see what you're about.
Oh, absolutely. Alan, what I'll do is I'll send you an ebook on sales. How about that? And you can forward it to anybody that wants a copy of that.
Okay, well, I'll let anyone that wants to get their hands on that, I'll let them contact us. And, we'll pass that on as a little gift from my good mate, Mark. So thanks for your time, buddy. Always fun. And I will look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Cheers, Mark. All the best.
As you just heard, Mark Madison is giving the Pipeline to Profitability audience his exclusive Sales Success Stories ebook for free. To download the ebook, visit serviceprofessionalsaustralia.com.au and you'll find his value-loaded book packed with stories and lessons to increase your sales. To send your questions and feedback on today's episode, email admin@serviceprofessionals.com.au. Thanks for listening to Pipeline to Profitability.
Pipeline to Profitability with Alan Ferguson is sponsored by Service Professionals Australia, Australia's leading service industry training company. Looking to identify the most profitable area of your business? Visit serviceprofessionalsaustralia.com.au.